Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
100 episodes later. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. Every Monday, new episode is posted at WGNplus.com. And you can also go to my landing page in the entertainment section right there. Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Where you can binge to your heart's delight on the previous, yes, folks, the previous 99 episodes. Because this is number 100, the centi episode, if you will. The C-Note episode. We have cracked triple digits here at the Captain Podtastic podcast. So who would have thought back in May of 2016 was the first time that this podcast was posted up on WGNplus.com, and almost 2 years ago, we will be approaching the actual two-year anniversary, but we have reached the 100th milestone before that. So if you have been here for all 100, or you've been only here for the last four, whichever is your circumstance, we thank you for clicking on or Googling or whatever it heck you do to find this podcast on a weekly basis. I certainly appreciate it, and I hope that you are enjoying listening as much as I am enjoying talking to you on a regular basis. And as I said, what's so great about the freedom of the podcast is that for the listener's sake, they're just there. They're always there. In fact, I went on the landing page today just to look, I went through all of my podcasts that are up there just to get a handle as to, so what have I been talking about over the last 100 podcasts? And has it been worth it? I really, unfortunately, I've asked a few times. I don't know if they don't want to tell me because it's either too impressive of a number or too embarrassing of a number. But I don't really know what kind of listenership or reaction the podcast has on a regular basis. I do know that there are several people that that email me and or talk about it on my Facebook page, and so I do appreciate that. But I really don't know what if I'm talking to myself or I'm talking to the world or who I'm talking to. But for those who do listen on a regular basis, or perhaps you just happened upon it, whatever, as I said before, whatever your case may be, thank you so much. But I was looking through the whole list that's on the landing page there, and I have to say that I forgot a lot of things that I've been talking about over the last 2 years, over the last 99, yes, 99 podcasts. But I've got a little list here of some of the what I think are some of the greatest hits, if you will, or some of the ones. So if you haven't listened to some previous ones, as I said, go to the landing page, and hopefully you can hear the difference. I hope the quality of the podcast has continued, hopefully from day one, and maybe it's even improved over time. I would hope both are the case. I hope we started hitting the ground running, and I hope we've only gotten better. And I want to thank Jasmine Cooper, the current producer. I've been through about 75 producers over the last 100 episodes, but I want to thank Jasmine for all her work because she's done a great job of...
And I'm the best, of course.
And she's the best, and she's also very, very humble.
Thank you.
Yeah. She does not talk herself up. She is not narcissistic. She is clearly not a millennial because she doesn't have any of those attributes that you would think. Notice she didn't say thank you so much. She just said, I'm the best.
That I am.
Yeah, very. Once again, giving
I've
her another
these things from Judy Pilate.
I've given her another chance to say thank you, Jim, and I've enjoyed working with you. And we're 0 for 2 right now. Both times she said something, never a mention of me, just of her.
Well, of course I want to thank you. I thank you every time you come in.
Holy smokes. That was like pulling. I feel like a dentist right now. I should have a spit bowl next
to me. Do not blame me. Blame Judy Pilate. She has taught me her ways.
Well, then I'll have to tackle her in the hallways today. Sometimes she's hanging around here. I'll have to let her know her mentoring projects aren't really working out as well as she thinks they are. But thank you to Jazzy. In fact, I had to laugh. You know, I've sort of given her. She said we talked several podcasts ago when she first started about some of her nicknames. Her name is Jasmine, but she goes by Jazzy. You know, she puts that on her when she sends you an email. She puts Jazzy. So then I said, oh, well, there are any other nicknames that you've had? And she mentioned Minnie Cooper because her last name is Cooper. And then I gave her Ethel. And one time I had to laugh because she wrote on the email, blah, 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 Ethel. So I thought that was, I figured my influence helped a little. Now, obviously, clearly not as much as Judy Pilak, who obviously teaches her people that look up to her to have no manners. And just be completely self-promoting. So that's...
She calls herself the news queen.
Yeah.
So
oh,
she
I know.
Really takes
Hey, look,
the
she's
queen.
Walk of Fame.
Yes.
So who am I to talk? People walk on me on a regular basis, but at least they walk on her plaque. I just get walked over on. She at least gets her plaque
you
in the sidewalk.
Both.
Yeah, so... I understand. I know. Believe me, I know my place. But anyway, so I was going through the list of the podcasts just to, and it really jogged my memory on some of the things that I had forgotten because it's 2 years. A lot happens in 2 years, and I was talking just some little greatest hits, and once again, you can go on the pod on the. Landing page and find these, but some of the ones that I thought were kind of interesting that I was like, oh, that's right, that was a funny one, that was a cool one, that was an interesting one, that was a poignant one. I think the first one I ever did, I talked about my K-Tel albums from the 70s, these great vinyl albums of the 70s that were just jam-packed with hits. At the time, Hamilton hadn't even opened here in Chicago. And I mentioned how I was noticing that Chicago was going to be going Hamilton crazy, and the city streets were going to be filled with waistcoats and powdered wigs instead of Blackhawks and Cub hats. And sure enough, I don't know about you, but I've noticed a lot of powdered wigs over the last 2 years. I've talked about my iPod. I think I'm trying to think now. When I started here... on the podcast, I can't remember if I had blonde hair or my natural brown hair. I talked about my having to dye my hair back to its normal color for a play I was doing back in, 2014? Was it 2014? Yeah, it was 2014. I didn't buy a convertible for my midlife crisis, so I dyed my hair blonde, and I had it blonde for a couple of years. And then I went to an audition for a play, and I didn't even open my mouth. I just walked up on the stage. I was ready to do my monologue, and the first thing the director said is, "Oh, would you be willing to dye your hair back to its normal color?" Because my headshot had my brown hair, and I said, "Wow, well, I guess so." Do you hate it that much? I've talked about my flip phone. I've talked about my skydiving. I talked about cremation. I talked about the closing of the Carnegie Deli. I've talked about, of course, my favorite air freshener, Cashmere Woods. I talked about my two favorite flavors, maple and pumpkin spice. I've talked about tipping. I've talked about my vanity plates. I've talked about my new, and I have to say, still, I used it today, the spork, the spoon fork, one of the greatest inventions. I love the spoon fork. It picks up some stuff that other things, the spoon individually or the fork just can't do. The spork combines the greatness of both utensils into one, the spork. And I bought them. They're around. Got them at Crate and Barrel. Just got to ask for them. But you can get a spork. Still using them. What else? Obviously, the soda pop tax. And then, of course, last week. We'll go right up to last week when I debuted my my John Goodman impersonation. Hey, Roseanne. Hi, Roseanne. So that is just a brief smattering of some of the topics. My decluttering of 2017, which is still going on. Still don't have as much to declutter. I went down to my basement the other day, and I did a few things with a couple of bins, and I said, you know what? I think I'm done. And I went out to the garage the other day, and I looked around there, and I said, there's really nothing. I've done a pretty good job of decluttering for the time being. Now, maybe another 10 years, I'll do another purging. But for right now, I've done a pretty good job on sort of getting rid of all the unnecessary junk and garbage that one collects through a year or a lifetime. But, yes, my pink eye. I had pink eye last year. Yeah, my medical maladies I've talked about. I did my Christmas carol. I put that up there for you guys. So, I'm proud of those last 99 podcasts. And I thank you for your loyalty. And so here we are at 100 and beyond. We see how long we go. And so I thought it would be fitting to, as I said many times in the last couple of weeks, I'm following the Walter Payton adage. When you get into the end zone, act like you've been there before and you're going to get there again. So I'm certainly acknowledging the 100th podcast, but no need for streamers, no need for fireworks, no need for pats on the back, except obviously Jasmine is in regular need of a pat on the back. But I won't be patting myself on the back. I thank you, the podcast listener, for tuning in. But I did think that, considering that this podcast is called Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and for those of you that are not aware, it's a play on one of Elton John's most famous albums, and my particular favorite, that came out in 1975, called Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, which is an autobiographical album of Elton and his lyricist, Bernie Taupin, and sort of tells the story of how they got together right up until the recording of their first album, and sort of what some of the things that they encountered, both meeting each other and struggling, and then finally getting that first album recorded and released. And it was the first album ever in the history of music to debut in the number one slot on the Billboard 200. That will obviously never be broken. In fact, he did that twice in a row. He did that with his next album that came out a few months after that, called Rock of the Westies. But Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy, first album ever to debut at number one on the charts. Beatles never did it. Elvis never did it. Usher never did it. Jay-Z never did it. Beyonce never did it. They've done it, but no one did it before him. So I should say Elvis and the Beatles and those who came before Elvis. Now, in the past, you know, most of the big name stars had always, so I shouldn't have mentioned actually newer people because that's not true. But anybody who came before Elton, Frank Sinatra never did it. You name the, you know, Barbra Streisand, you name whoever you want, but no one did it before Elton, 1975 in May. So that was the, so when I was putting together the podcast idea, I like I said, Captain Fantastic is my favorite album, and it's associated as a nickname for Elton. And so with my name being Elton Jim, my nickname, I thought, well, this would be interesting, and I thought of Podtastic, Captain Podtastic instead of Fantastic. And if you see the when you go on, when you click on the podcast and you see the little logo there, that is a takeoff on the font and the design for Captain Fantastic, the album, that kind of gothic-looking font that is used there. So it all ties in, folks. As I said, there's many layers to this podcast. It's not just some screwball hitting an on button here and talking for an hour or so. Lots of stuff. I mean, as I said, this is like a jigsaw. It's like a remember Highlights, the book Highlights? You always see them in the doctor's office, in the dentist or the doctor's office, the little kids thing, and you have to find the stuff in the picture. And there'll be a picture of, like, you know, some kids in the playground, and then you have to find the stuff that doesn't fit there. Like, all of a sudden, there'd be a wrench in a bush or something. That's what this show is. There's so many layers. There's so many hidden meanings and hidden layers. Hundreds of years from now, when this podcast is still listened to, people will then, I think, finally. I think I'm at the point now where I'm just assuming that I'm going to have to be one of those people that will be recognized and lauded 100 years after his death, you know? That's how things are going right now. So when they look at these podcasts 100 years from now, them, oh my gosh, wow, what was this? This guy was doing stuff that wow, he was just way too far ahead. No one was getting it. That has to be it, right? But anyway, so I thought it would be fitting then for the 100th broadcast or the 100th podcast to, I don't, you know, even though I call the podcast Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, I don't overly talk about Elton here. This is not an Elton John centric podcast. There's a lot of those out there, in fact, but I just use that as a tie-in to my nickname. And every so often, when the when it's fitting, I will do a little talk about Elton. So I thought it would be fitting on the 100th anniversary or the 100th podcast to maybe do a little Elton talk, because I. There is something of significance here, both I could talk about personally as well as something that might turn you on. So I don't know if you saw, but a few weeks ago on CBS, there was a Grammy tribute show to Elton called I'm Still Standing, and it was actually recorded in New York in January of this year, and I went to see the taping. It was in the theater inside of Madison Square Garden. There's the Madison Square Garden Arena, and then inside Madison Square Garden, there's a theater, and so that's where the this was recorded and taped, and it was very interesting because it was a TV show taping. Even though it was a concert, it was a TV show taping, and it took much longer than a normal concert, more than 3 hours. And there were stops and going, and they changed the sets, and there were camera problems and audio problems, and you name it. So it. It wasn't as coherent in person as it was when it aired on television, but it was still cool to see some of these acts that came out to celebrate and give a tribute to Elton John and his lyricist Bernie Taupin. They've been writing together now for more than 50 years. 1967 is when they got together. Very interesting. They both responded to an ad in a music magazine in England called the New Music Express. And there was an ad for a record company called Liberty Records that was looking for, you know, this was in the mid-60s, right in the beginnings of Beatlemania. And so everybody was looking for the next Beatles. And rock music was gaining a new renaissance. And so it was just calling for any kind of songwriters, musicians, singers, you name it. And Elton wrote in and said, look, I'm a musician and I can write melodies and I could play the piano, but I'm no good at lyrics. And he was 20 years old at the time. And Bernie Taupin was from the north of England, 17 years old. And he had been writing some poems, and and he sent in and said, I have no musical training or ability, but I can write lyrics. I'm a writer. I've written some poems, and here they are. And maybe someone could put them to music. And a guy named Ray Williams, who was working for this record company and put the ad in, met with Elton, and after he saw his musical ability and his musical talent, he had those lyrics sitting around, and he said, well, you can't write lyrics. Well, here's an envelope filled with a bunch of lyrics. See what you can do with these. There's some kid out in Lincolnshire, and here they are. See what you can do. And that's how they met. And that's how one of the most successful songwriting teams got together. It is truly like a fairy tale. You couldn't even write that in a story. And they have been together. They had a few years where they weren't writing exclusively with each other, of course. They've been together, but they were... Elton was 20, Taupin was 17. Bernie came down and lived with Elton and his family in their house, and that's where they started to write songs. And, you know, 2 years later, after writing songs and getting a writing contract to be songwriters for other people, Elton started to sing some of his own songs by himself, record them sort of after hours at a recording studio. And 2 years or so after they met that crazy star-crossed way where I can't write lyrics and I can't write music, and they just put them together, they wrote Your Song in 1969, early 70, and the rest is history. So talk about just fate, at the very least, fate, and then making the most of an opportunity. And so 50 years later, they are still writing songs together, and as I said, so they did this this Grammy special with some of today's biggest stars singing Elton songs, like John Legend and Ed Sheeran and Miranda Lambert and Sam Smith and many others. And so the show was interesting, and to right on the heels of that, two albums were released in April. One that was curated by Elton, that Elton said, I'm going to find a bunch of people to sing some of our songs. And then Bernie, who is really into country music, and if you listen to a lot of Elton's early music, there's a lot of country topics in the lyrics. Bernie Taupin, from a young age, was always taken with American history, Americana, Civil War, cowboys, gangsters, and a lot of their songs reflect that. In fact, Bernie Taupin is an American citizen and lives in Santa Barbara on a ranch. So he is the brown dirt cowboy to Elton's Captain Fantastic. And so he got together a bunch of leading and legendary country acts to do some of their songs. And they were allowed to do whatever they would want with them. And so it's an interesting two different volumes. One is more pop-based, because Elton likes more of today's music and the younger acts, and Bernie is more of a country fan. So one is called Revamp. That's the one that Elton did. And the other one is called Restoration, which is the one that Bernie Taupin got the artists together, and they did the songs. So I thought it might be fun to just take a quick listen to this album. What was so interesting about when I went to this to the taping, Chris Martin from Coldplay screwed up three times. They had to go back three times and try. He was singing. He was forgetting the words. He was mixing up. He was mixing up verses. He wasn't giving the cue to a string arrangement to come in. It was really funny. There's a few little weird little things like that. One of the most moving moments, and if you can, I'm sure you can go online and see the special. It was a 2-hour special on CBS, so I'm sure it's up there. One of the most moving parts of the TV show, and to be there in person was really emotional. Neil Patrick Harris, who's a friend of Elton John's, read a letter that Elton wrote to Ryan White. And if you don't know who Ryan White was, and back in the mid-80s, he was one of the a very high profile. He was a teenage kid who caught AIDS through a blood transfusion. This was the early days of AIDS. And he had hepatitis or some kind of blood disease, and he had a blood transfusion. And there wasn't much, you know, blood, you know, tests at that time. And so he caught AIDS through a blood transfusion. And there was so much in the public that was not known about AIDS. There was a lot of fear. All you were seeing about AIDS at that time in the early to mid-80s was how it was killing people. And there was not a lot of information, and there was a lot of ignorance, and it was really a tough time. And this poor kid from Indiana called Ryan White was kicked out of his school. Parents were spitting at him. He was vilified because they were afraid of that disease, and he personified it for so many people at the time, and their fear and their anger and whatever you want to call it. And the poor kid just showed such grace. And he never fought back, and he became an advocate for AIDS awareness. And sadly, in 1990, I think when he was just about 18 years old, he passed away. And but he's remained a major figure in the AIDS fight, and one of the reasons why Elton John formed his AIDS Foundation, which has at this point raised over $400 million for AIDS in the last 20 some years. But so on the anniversary of Ryan's 20th, the 20th anniversary of Ryan's death, when he would have been 38 back in 2010, Elton wrote a letter to Ryan. Just, you know, obviously a one-way letter that he never was able to see or read. But he was sort of just expressing his feelings about Ryan 20 years later, how much he missed him and how much the world had changed. And how much AIDS had changed, and how much Ryan's work was pivotal in changing the way people looked at AIDS victims or people with AIDS, how it changed the government and the medical community to find ways to treat AIDS, and how it wasn't a stigma and it wasn't a death sentence, and he was one of the forerunners of that movement. And so he wrote this letter. It was very emotional, and they showed Elton on the screen at the event, and he was crying when the letter was over. And to be in that room, to hear that letter, and to feel and hear the emotion that Elton John had. Elton John was at Ryan White's bedside when he passed away. He got very involved with the family. And in fact, it was Ryan White's. The way Elton has always said, right, the way that Ryan White handled his disease and handled the initial reactions of the public with such grace and with such strength that it actually influenced Elton to change his life. At the time, he was an alcoholic and a drug addict and even a bulimic. And after he saw Ryan White live with this disease and do it with such strength and grace, and then was there when Ryan died. A few months later, Elton checked himself into a rehab facility right here in the Chicago area, in Park Ridge, at Lutheran General Hospital, at the Parkside Center, and was there for a few months, and that's where he got sober. And he accredits and attributes Ryan White with changing his life and becoming sober. So it's a really interesting story. And just to hear that letter written and to be in the room when it was written, when it was read out loud, and see Elton react, was bawling and crying, was really an interesting and fun and poignant moment to be in there. So I thought I'd play a few of these songs from these two tribute albums just to give you a sense of what they sound like. And maybe you'll pick them up. As I said, the Elton John, Bernie Taupin catalog is over 30 studio albums and several live albums and several greatest hits albums. There's really a deep breadth of music there, and there's always the hits that everybody hears. But as Elton now is 71 years old and is going to maybe calling it quits in terms of big tours, as he announced, hopefully people will begin to really recognize the full breadth of his musical catalog, because it is really one of the greatest in pop music. So let's play a few of these songs here. And here's one that you've certainly heard before, Benny the Jets, but this one is by Pink and the rapper Logic. Let's hear a little bit of this one.
Benny, let me get it now, mama. I made it. True story, I have upgraded. Everybody back then used to hate it. Now they all appreciate it. I might sound out of my mind. Matter of fact, out of line. But I've been running and gunning, been fighting for something to end due time. I'm finna take it to the line. I'm in the beginning of the prime. Tony Montana, the world's mine. Yeah, it's finally about time. Went from sex and hate to better times. Serving food to writing rhymes. For Elton John, the greatest of all time.
That is Pink and Logic doing Benny and the Jets. And a lot of the songs on this revamp album are more well known. There's other ones on the restoration album which are not as well known, which actually makes it kind of interesting because it does expose you to some songs you may never have heard. This was a very interesting cover version of the country band called Little Big Town. And they do Rocket Man.
I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space. On such a timeless flight.
That is Little Big Town and Rocket Man. And here's one. Here's Coldplay. On the record, he does it good the first time. When I saw him in person, it took him three chances to do the television taping. But here's Chris Martin and Coldplay with one of the best love songs Elton John and Bernie Taupin ever written. It is from the Captain Fantastic album. Many people may have not heard it, but it is one of their best. It's called We All Fall in Love Sometime. And this one was a surprise. Everybody knows Miranda Lambert because she, was recently married to, Blake Shelton from The Voice, and now they've been divorced. But so she came out, and I've heard of her music, but not a lot. I'm not a huge country fan of the newer crop of people, but she came out and did once again an obscure song that was a. The everybody at the event stood up and clapped. It's a song from Tumbleweed Connection, and it's kind of a song about the Civil War and the early days of America, and it's called My Father's Gun, and she really did a great job on this. Here's Miranda Lambert with My Father's Gun. And one of Elton's proteges, actually, was at the event and also is on this revamp album, Ed Sheeran, who is one of the biggest stars in the world. And he was at the at that Grammy show, and he's also on this album, and he does a very Ed Sheeran kind of beatbox version of one of Elton's biggest hits, Candle in the Wind.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. Though I never knew you at all, you had the grace to hold yourself while those around you cold. Goodbye, Norma Jean. From the young man in the 22nd row, sees you something more than sexual.
And one of the biggest country acts right now is a guy named Chris Stapleton. He's got a very gritty, almost rock and roll voice. And once again, Bernie Taupin chose a lot of non-hits for his Restoration album. And so he does this one. This is a song from 2002, in fact, a more recent song, called I Want Love. This is Chris Stapleton.
Oh, man, I've seen so much right there.
And one of the, in the last several years, one of the more popular kind of alternative rock singers is Florence and the Machine. And she does a really cool version of, once again, one of the more beloved songs of the Elton John, Bernie Taupin canon. This is Florence and the Machine doing Tiny Dancer. And on the country album Restoration, which Bernie Taupin, as I said, curated, a new, I guess you would say, a new eagle. Vince Gill, a country artist of note himself and a big star, is now touring with the Eagles since the death of Glenn Frey. And so he and Don Henley got together for an interesting, I think, a great cover version that could almost rival the original, in my view. This is a song called Sacrifice, and this is Don Henley and Vince Gill.
Cold, cold heart, heart done by you. Some things look better, baby, just passing through. But it's no sacrifice, just a simple word. It's two hearts living in two separate worlds.
And Elton is friends with and has sung with on several occasions Mary J. Blige. And in fact, if you want to go on YouTube, go on YouTube, look up the Elton John Mary J. Blige version of I Guess That's Why They Call It the Blues and watch the whole song. And in the middle of it, when the line "Picture your face in my hands" comes on, you will see a shot of Elton. You will see a shot of Mary J. Blige, and then you will see a shot of yours truly. I was in the front row singing along, and I'm in the video. Thank you very much. A nice headshot of me singing Picture My Face in Your Hands. So that's my claim to fame on that one. But this is Mary J. Blige doing a version of Elton, one of Elton's best love songs called Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word, Mary J. Blige.
What have I got to do to be heard? Mm-hmm. And what will I say when it's all over? And sorry seems to be the hardest word. Mm-hmm. It's sad.
sad. It's a sad, sad situation. And it's getting more and more and more absurd.
And then, of course, Bernie went right to one of the legends for one of their oldest songs, and I think one of their best, too, one of their earliest from their first from their second album, called Elton John. This is the gnarled voice that just gets better as it gets older and more crusty and gnarly, if you will. This is Willie Nelson doing Border Song.
Holy Moses, I have been deceived. Now the wind has changed direction, and I'll have to leave. Won't you please excuse my frankness, but it's not my cup of tea. Oh, Holy Moses, I have been deceived.
And finally, here's one from the godmother of Elton's two children, Zachary and Elijah. How would you like your godmother to be Lady Gaga? But that's the case. She is the godmother to both Elton's two young boys. And she's on the revamp album doing, of course, as I said, the song that started it all for Bernie Taupin and Elton John back in 1970. Here's Lady Gaga's version of Your Song.
So excuse me for getting these things I do, you see. I've forgotten if they're green or they're blue.
And so that's just a little smattering, a little taste of these two albums that were just released over the last several weeks. One called Revamp, which was curated by Elton, and one called Restoration, which was curated by his lyricist Bernie Taupin to celebrate their 50 years together writing songs. And so one is more pop-based and one is more country-based. And so I tried to give you a little smattering of both of those. So congratulations to Elton and Bernie. And as I said, on our 100th episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, I thought it was only fitting to feature a little Elton John music there. But we will now continue with our usual stuff after this little break. We'll be back with Emily Arminetti and the Pop Culture Club. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, episode 100. And to help us celebrate is regular contributor, Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Jim.
How are you doing?
Wait, so 100 episodes? I didn't realize.
100 wow. Episodes. 100.
Well, congratulations.
I started the podcast in May of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And so
now,
here we are.
Are you going to have like a cake or something? Because you know, like when TV shows.
I know. Well,
like
no.
100 things, like a cake.
No. The, well, like I've said, know. I said, you know, Walter Payton, the Chicago great football player from the Bears, said, you know, when he would score a touchdown, he would just hand the ball to the ref. And his view was, when you get into the end zone, you know, you shouldn't have to do all these dances. You should act like you've been in the end zone before and you're getting there again. So no big deal. So that's the kind of take that I'm on it. Hey, you know what? I expected to do 100. What's the big deal? I'll, when it's 1,000, maybe I'll have a cake. But
yeah.
Okay. So that's the way. You know what, Emily? I am really sorry, but we actually have somebody that is going to be using the studio, and I ran a little long on this. A lot of times we don't have anybody after me, so I can run a little late, but there is somebody that's going to use the studio. So I really feel bad now because I have to get out of here in 5 minutes. So the topic that we were going to have is kind of evergreen, so we can do that next time, right?
Oh, yeah, there's time.
I apologize. Time got away from me. I didn't know we had someone on after me. So I really apologize. But I'm glad I wanted to have you on because I wanted you to be a part of the 100th episode.
Yes, I know. Well, yeah. And
so I've got like 5 minutes.
This episode in before you have to rename the podcast to Elton John Goodman.
Well, that's right, podcast. Roseanne. That's right, Roseanne.
Yeah. So it's good. This is good because I feel like that is.
I like the Elton John Goodman. I like that, Roseanne.
Yeah, you are, yeah. I mean, so, well, I tell you, it's a good thing that you kind of got this episode in under your original name.
Well, because, my John Goodman, I did it last podcast, and I discovered it by accident one time on the radio, and I never really did it before, Roseanne. But now that Roseanne's back, it looks like that could come in handy.
I know. I'm blown away by it.
Yeah, maybe John Goodman doesn't want to do some voiceover commercials for some, Lipton iced tea or something. Then I could just do it.
Yes, I'm sure the Lipton people are going to have you on speed dial.
That's right. A Lipton. What else is there, Roseanne? What would a Dan Connor drink or eat?
Oh, well, there would definitely be a beer. He's like a beer.
That's
brand.
Right. Yeah, that's
and
right.
And
yeah.
I don't think he would not be drinking any fancy IPAs. Either.
Yeah, no. Now, IPA is when a company goes public, right? Isn't that an IPA?
Yeah, right.
Is that no? Yeah, what does IPA mean? Do you even know what that means?
It means India Pale Ale.
India?
Yeah.
What does that have to
do? I know you had a whole conversation with your godson.
I know, but I forgot.
What is happening?
Why India?
I don't know. I don't have the whole history on.
Well, that's okay. Well, there you go.
Hipster. This is why you need. Maybe you. I mean, you can. You need to. You sound like you need to touch base with your godson.
Well, I'm trying to get a millennial meter with my godson Patrick. Yeah. It's been quite a long time. He's been very busy of late, so I haven't been able. I may see him soon, and so I might try to wrangle him in here. But I do apologize, but at the same time, I'm so glad to hear your voice, and I'm glad to at least that your voice is a part of the 100th episode. Yes. Now, you have not done the podcast for all 100, but you've been with me for over a year and a half now, right?
Well, a handful, yeah. We've done quite a few.
Yeah, I should go back and start counting. I'm surprised you don't know how many you've done. You should be counting.
Well, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get James on the case.
All right, do that.
When is my 100th?
Yeah, there you go.
Episode as a contributor.
As a contributor.
So we will work on that in the meantime.
And I understand. When was James's birthday?
Oh, it was last week.
What is the actual date?
April 6th.
April 6th. Well, happy birthday, yeah. James, the number one fan.
Thank you.
The number one fan and my namesake. And as I said, I've known Emily for many years.
Right.
And I was very touched when she named her son after me. And I will always, I will always, that was always be very near and dear to my heart. But thank you. And happy birthday, James, number one fan. And thank you for taking time out of your busy day and busy schedule as being a mom and everything else to join us every week here on the podcast. It is much, much appreciated. So we'll talk to you next week.
Of course, anytime.
Okay, great. I'm sorry once again, but we will talk to you extra time next week. How's that?
All right, sounds good. Thanks,
great.
Jim.
Okay, take care. Okay, give us that little going out music there. And this has been episode number 100 of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic right here at WGNplus.com. A new episode up every Monday for your listening and binging pleasure. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. So thanks to listening for the last 100 episodes of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast from the end of the web to your screen.